Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today, I am with Claire Bosk. Hi, Claire. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm so happy to be back. Thank you for having me again.
I am also super happy because it's the third time that you are on the podcast, and therefore you are a special guest for me. But perhaps not everybody knows you. Claire, could you please quickly introduce yourself?
Yes. So I'm Claire Bosk, and I'm a keynote speaker. I talk on customer experience, and I have been doing that probably for the last 15 years. Well, keynote speaking, probably about 6 years, but I set up a business, which at the core of it, at the beginning of it, was all about mystery shopping. So I live on a little island called Jersey, which is between France and England in the Channel Islands. And I realized that there was a little gap missing on the island, and there was no one actually measuring that customer service. So how are you able to involve and improve yourself if you don't know where you are? So I jumped in, I left a hotel management looking after hotels, and I set up the business actually as a mystery shopper. And I did that for probably about 12 years. And then, of course, the pandemic happened and it hit us all. And at the time, I was too small to sustain. So Jersey is a very small island, 100,000 people. Although I was doing work in different little islands, it was just too small to sustain the COVID hit. So I pivoted like everybody else, did a lot of things online, but I also brought a twist to customer experience and brought something a little bit different, which not everybody realized. So I'm also a feng shui practitioner, so feng shui, depending where you are in the world, which accent you use. And feng shui are the Chinese principles and how our environment and the energy around us is actually affect us. So as customers, you're walking in somewhere and subconsciously you're going to feel good or not. And this is what it was all about. So it was bringing the twist of the feng shui principles and the energy that we create around us to create better environment for our customers and our employees. And I call that Be Shui. So that was my little method that I created. And I brought that into the whole of the business. So whether it's culture, the employee experience, the customer experience, and how do we bring it all together?
Thank you very much for this introduction. I think we already feel the energy that you have, and therefore you did a lot of things. And you said you are going a bit back to the topic mystery shopping. This is also today's topic, discussing about mystery shopping. But before we go into this topic, which values drive you in life?
Which what?
Values. Personal values.
My personal values. So, okay. Yes. Oh, so my values are, I'm always about being of service with people. And that's something that's always, and in a way, it's always, my dad had a restaurant, you see, Craig. So I grew up in that environment where you're here to please people and make people happy. So from the age of about 7, I was carrying plates. So being of service for me, it's always been one of my values, and being able to be making people feel happy, making people feel good. And as I grew, in the different jobs that I did, and I was always trying to bring people together, energize them, and using creativity. So creativity is something that, is very dear to me as well. And I feel that it's very important that we bring that as one of my value. How can we, how can we be more creative, and how can we open up our mind to think a little bit differently so we make people feel happy and good?
Oh, that's really interesting. But one question I need to ask, where do you find all this energy? What's your secret?
Well, again, I think there's a lot of learning through how to do that, Craig. At the pandemic, I lost my business in 3 days, and I lost everything. And it was just, and I know there's a lot of people which, will listen to this podcast and would relate to it. But suddenly I had a business for 12 years. It'd been a very good, profitable. I was starting franchising my business in India and Slovenia and different countries. So it was, you know, growing business. And suddenly in 3 days, it was all gone. And I really hit the bottom. And when you hit the bottom, you realize it's that virtual circle downwards, isn't it? And being able to grab, you know, learn some tools throughout to help you out. So I do a lot of NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming. I do a lot. I'm very optimistic. You know, always looking into the right position, the right attitude, and thinking positively. And how can we turn a negative in? Always looking for a solution. You know, a solution focus. Yes. But a lot of things as well is about learning about yourself and your own inner energy, Craig. And I think that's the thing, you know, when we talk about feng shui, it's the outer energy, but our own inner energy. So to be able to give out energy, we need to be able to recharge, you know, energy, and then we can transmit it. So learning techniques like mindfulness, you know, being able to take time, being able to be very resilience, emotional intelligence, it's a very powerful learning as well. So all those kind of little technique that I've learned over the years. And when a pandemic hit and I was so low, it was like, you know, I cried so much. I didn't have any tears left to in my body. And the kids came up to me, and I was a single mom with my two children. And we were just lying in the bed, and suddenly it just hit me like a and I'm like, I've got to stop this, Claire. Come on. That's it. You've got to stop this. You know, this is not who you are. And so I started walking again, which I hadn't walked. So all those dimensional energy, you know, the energy of the physical energy, the spiritual energy, the mental energy, all those energies together, you start to bring those little techniques together. And that's why now, I mean, I talk about CX a lot. Yes, I talk about Bishui a lot. I talk about mystery shopping a lot. But I do talk a lot on happiness and how do we create energy and how do we feel better in ourselves? Because if we do feel good in ourselves, we're going to get great service. It's just so simple, right?
It's extremely simple. We should only apply that every day, and every day having the same mindset. And therefore, it make it not so easy to implement. But I really like, I am a fan of Claire Bosk. You already understood that, but it's really incredible the energy that you are giving to the people you are speaking to. I saw a lot of keynotes you did digital. It's incredible. I love that, and I'm super happy to kick off this discussion about mystery shopping. You did that in the past a lot. What are the most significant benefits companies can get by doing this mystery shopping? And perhaps you can also quickly explain what mystery shopping is.
Yeah, so mystery shopping, really, on a very simple way, it's measuring customer experience, measuring the service that you deliver, right? So you can't manage something that you don't know what's happening. So when you're putting a program together, for me, the best thing ever about a mystery shopping program is being able to celebrate the success. So again, think about that positivity. Positive breeds positive. If we put a mystery shopping program and we can say, yeah, we're doing this so good, we're so good at that, then you can start looking and identifying the gaps. And that's where it starts to be very interesting, because you're bringing people together, all your team and your employees with you, and actually being able to make your customers feel happy. So your employees' performance grow, your customers' experience increase, you know, and then obviously that's kind of the loyalty, you know, brand recognition and all that kind of thing. So the benefit of it, it's so simple. You know, you really are increasing that CX experience, you're increasing your profit at the end of the day, because, you know, your employees can sell more, your customers will buy more, they'll come back to you. But on the other hand as well, you can also use mystery shopping as a benchmarking. So in terms of marketing, in terms of looking at the competition, you can use the mystery shopping program. It could be a tool for compliance, right? And that's, again, several programs that we've put together It's about governance, compliance. How do we think? How do we do things right? And how do we ensure that we have a consistent processes throughout our organization to make sure that everything is working in the same way? And all of our employees throughout 3,000 branches throughout the world will be able to deliver the same service and the same processes and the same compliance in the organization. So, you know, really, there's so many benefits to it. But the first one is it will increase your profitability. That's it.
let's take the profits that people are happy and it works. For me, it's really also a personal experience I had with the companies I worked in the past as an employee. One consulting company came to us and said, we did mystery shopping for you. And now these are what we find out. And at the end, they explained us the process, all what we could do. And then we asked, but what did you really do to do mystery shop? And they said, oh, we called 3 times your contact center and we asked 3 questions. And basically I say, are we sure that you have enough information and you structured the process in the proper way? And this is something that it's really, at least with the companies I'm speaking, it's not understood that it's real. It's a real process. It's something planned that needs to be performed and so on. And this is not only mystery shopping. I see and I face a lot of discussion in the customer experience field or with the people working together with customer experience professional. Exactly the same discussion I had a few weeks ago. Please give me the template for the personas. I will quickly fill in. Then we put it on the wall and then we have the persona. And I try to explain to this person that was a process engineer that as he's doing Lean Six Sigma, it's a clear process, structured and so on. Also in customer experience, and now speaking about mystery shopping, it is a process. And therefore, could you please explain the key steps that are required in mystery shopping to be successful and to provide really value to the customer, to the employees, and finally achieving this profit for the company?
Yeah, I think you're totally right, Craig. And I think a lot of the time and very much so when we put a program together, if somebody, an organization wants to have a one-off visit, it's not a mystery shopping program. It could be an audit, which is fine. You're ticking boxes, but it's not a mystery shopping program. A program is a program. It's a strategy that you put together and then going to implement and then going to train and then going to use and actions, you know, the whole thing. And it's an evolving program, which will really help you moving to a new direction. So defining the objectives of what it is, like any strategy, what are you trying to do with that mystery shopping program? So is it governance? Is it sales? Is it increasing, you know, happiness? Is it, what is it that you're trying to do with that program? And then you design the program. So, you know, you've got the different questions, you've got the different sections part of it. Where is it going to fit at all? When you actually receive the report, how are you going to utilize that information in the right way? So you need to define all this in advance to make sure that when you get the results, you can start doing some actions. Then you create the evaluation criteria. So that's really important as well, you know, the metrics that you're using. So what kind of questions, how are you going to answer the questions? Is it yes? Is it no? Is it a percentage? Is it a 1 to 10? Is it an excellent? Is it what? How do you use those questions and what are you trying to achieve out of them? And then you're scoring them as well. So again, there's another part of it where you're scoring. If you have a 1, which is not very good, and you have a 10, which is fantastic, how's this going to score in, you know, your whole level of your questionnaire? So there's a lot of defining of the questionnaire and the question setup, which is really important in that the point of view. Of course, we need to start recruiting the mystery shoppers. So the, you know, a lot of companies have thousands of mystery shoppers on their books. I was very much about having a smaller team and a smaller group. We live on an island. I live on an island. So we do have challenges in, you know, rotations and making sure we have the right shoppers for the right visit and actually not being recognized. You know, we live. So that's kind of some of the challenges that you have. But for a mystery shopping program, you need to make sure that your shoppers are going to be able to measure the right service, the understanding, the levels and the questionnaire. So you need to have trained shoppers, you know, asking your sister-in-law or your brother to go into a mystery shop. is now a mystery shop. They're going to go into your shop and have a look and give you some feedback. It'd be feedback, which is great, but it's not going to be a constructive, trained mystery shopper, which is going to give you that feedback, because that's what they do. So then we obviously would conduct a visit. The mystery shoppers will go in and they'll come back, and actually they will give you a non-unbiased point of view of actually what happened in that moment in time. So it's not about mystery shoppers don't go, unless you ask them to, they won't tell you how they felt about it. Some of the questions nowadays are a lot more emotional, because we're bringing a lot more emotions into what we, into some of the questions that we want to relate to. But it's very much an unbiased view of what happened at this moment in time on that day with that particular person. Bang. And that's the report. Then you collect the information throughout. So I've got a mystery shopping system. A lot of that information used to do in the days, you know, handwriting. Now it's all, you know, on the system. We've got apps. We've got, you know, charts coming up, you know, and so everything is kind of very, very digital. And very quickly, you can start analyzing the results and start looking what's, you know, what you've done right and celebrate that success and start identifying your gap and start, you know, finding, you know, creating some actions. And then you can start monitoring, reviewing it, and then you start again. And that's the beauty of it, right? Because mystery shopping is such a quick turnaround. You can really take some actions straight away on things that are happening. And it doesn't take 6 months, like, you know, if you're looking at a CX journey mapping, or if you're looking at a whole CX strategy, it may take 6 months, a year before you can start seeing some improvement. With a mystery shopping, you get the visit, 48 hours later, bang, you can start doing something about it, which is why I love it about it, because it's so quick and so quick to implement changes.
Perhaps you shared that in the past it was more written, nowadays it's more digital. And perhaps could you quickly elaborate also on the difference between doing mystery shopping in a digital world, doing mystery shopping in a physical world? It means you go there and you buy something, and basically also the interaction that you have with machines or with humans. What's your view on that?
Yeah, so again, we are emotional people, you know, and that's it, you know. And I think no machine and AI will replace us as human being, and as you know, as we want to understand how our customers feel, because that's how they're going to come back. You know, if you connect with them on that emotional level, you know, you're going to get, you know, we've got two sides of our brain. We've got the left brain, which is our neocortex, is the doing, the acting, but we've got the right brain, which is our emotional limbic brain. It's, you know, when you walk in somewhere and it smells nice and suddenly you're going to buy a baguette, which you really didn't want to buy a baguette, but you're going to buy it because it smells so good of baguettes, nice. Right?
Yes.
And so, as an organization, as a business, you need to connect with your customers only at that emotional level. And this is what's very important. And it's the big difference between digital and, you know, a live mystery shop. So a lot of the things now, and when I talk about Bishui and bring the Feng Shui in, the five senses is our direct connectors to our emotion. So even on a website, when we're, you know, you could be mystery shopping a website, and you could be mystery shopping the time, the user ability, how quick could you find things, could you search things? Those are very practical things that you would look on the website, but also you would ask questions, emotional questions. So what are the image? How did you actually, could you smell something that you can't smell on the website? You know, how those imageries or the sound use or the word use actually connected on an emotional level? So there's a lot of things that you can do now virtually that we look at when we're doing those kind of virtual. And then you've got phone calls, mystery shopping, you know, yes, you've got online. And I think the pandemic has also brought a total new spin to mystery shopping, right? We've, you know, suddenly we were all doing virtual live mystery shopping shops. The shops have closed, and now it was like, whoa, you know, what are we going to do? So everybody's had to adapt very quickly, and doing virtual mystery shopping, whole mystery shopping has very much increased. And I think a lot of the businesses are using it a lot more as well as part of a CX strategy. So using the program not just as a one-off, but it really has to be a holistic approach to your CX strategy.
Thank you. You were mentioning that with these mystery shoppings, you can get then a list of benefits and you can act on these improvements within a few days. And I don't want to be brutal, but this is the reality. You come back as an external consultant and you share, or also CX professional, you share your learnings and we should do this and that. And then this list of improvements come into a bigger list, what the company need to do and want to do. And then you have this discussion or this prioritizations issue. What can we solve first? And the second thing is, okay, Claire, you did your mystery shopping, you saw this and that, but I am the boss. My feeling is we need to change that. How do you tackle this discussion? I'm sure you had similar discussion in the past. How are you tackling this discussion to really help CX professionals, CX teams drive what really matters for customer and not what the feelings of these bosses is taking this decision and saying, okay, now you need to do that, even if you share me the data?
Yeah, so I think there's two things I'd like to add to that. So the accountability part of the program. So it's not having somebody, whether it's a marketing or HR, depending on where the where it comes from, they really excited about doing the program, and maybe not everybody else is excited about doing that program. And you see that very often. And I think, you know, bringing everybody together into the program and then creating the program, designing the program, will give them that responsibility back, that accountability back to them. And again, a lot of the things when I put programs together, I really kind of, it's by being very transparent with everybody. It's being transparent with your staff, telling them that, you know, you're putting that program. Why are we doing that? Give them the questionnaire. Really? You give the questionnaire to your staff? Well, yes, because you're not trying to trick your staff, right? You're not trying to trick your employees. You want them to improve and deliver amazing service. So, you know, give them the tools to do that. And I think that's kind of the old ways of thinking. You know, when I started 15 years ago, we used mystery shopping as a bashing thing and, you know, Big Brother's house. And, you know, it's the carrots, you know, that, you know, if you're doing well on your mystery shopping, you're going to get, you know, bonus or whatever. But now it really is about bringing people together and making them all accountable to do that. And that's kind of the key to bringing people together and not having one person really, really wanted to do that program, but then not everybody else around. And then that will, and again, this will then reflect on the CEO and have, because if it's all of his management team is then on the same wavelength, there's nothing that they can do because they're all singing from the same hymn sheet, right? And really seeing those benefits, it's about, you know, it's about that implementation. And I've had it in the past, Greg, and sometimes you can't win. Sometimes you can't win because you've got some of those directors which are very old school. They think their way is the way. And in a way, I've stopped fighting against them. And it may not be the right decision. It may not be the right thing. But the energy that I spend trying to make somebody believe in something they don't want to believe, it's wasting time and energy and money for everybody else. So from the beginning, right from the beginning of the program, for me, the CEO and, you know, the whole, you know, board of directors have to be on board with that program, because otherwise nothing will ever change in the organization.
I think you are sharing one of the challenges that you are facing. It's getting the support of the organization. Are there other challenges that you are facing when you're running or when you run these mystery shoppings programs?
Yeah, so again, you know, it's the inconsistency on things. So, you know, if you start a program, do a program, go for it for a whole year, maybe do less visits. But, you know, instead of doing 60 visits in 2 months, we'll split the 60 visit between the whole 12 months and really kind of do something, you know, that you're going to be able to benchmark yourself and see some changes along the line. Because if you just do a whole lot of visits, it's not as beneficial as a whole program of things. So the inconsistency of a program is so often a challenge. The busyness of the managers, so very often they put, like you said, you know, they put a mystery shopping program, but they've got so many other things that they really have to do. So which one is the priority to do? So that's, you know, being very clear about, you know, what we're doing, when we're doing it, when we're getting the results, how we're actioning it. And then so it's becoming part of it as well. So, you know, really being able to action, because again, like you said earlier, if you do a program and then you tick box it, oh, yes, we've done the program and nothing's done about it. Well, they're going to say mystery shopping, it doesn't work. Well, no, it doesn't work because, you know, you ticked a box, but you've not done anything about it. So that's kind of, you know, and so that's kind of a common challenge as well. And too many results, too many visits can really be overwhelming. So again, use, you know, speak to your mystery shopping company. And again, if you're using a mystery shopping company, use a company which is a member of the Mystery Shopping Professional Association. So you know they're following the ethical conduct, you know they're training their staff properly, you know, all that kind of thing. So, you know, if MSPA, so there's a European board, there's a American board and Asian board. So you can really kind of find organization throughout the world which will be able to help you. But listen to their advice because they've done it in and out and they'll be able to let you know if you've got too much data, too much information, whether there's too many questions. I mean, some questionnaires, they were asking me to do 70 questions. How can a mystery shopper remember 70 questions? It's ridiculous. You can't measure 70 questions and have somebody actually responding to you to all that. So, you know, too much data for a mystery shopper to remember, but then too many visits for actually an implementation to be able to be done. It's one of the challenges that you see as well. So it's quite interesting to see how you put the program. And again, employees' resistance could be if you're not, you know, transparent with your program, that could be a problem, a challenge that you'll find out because your employee is going to feel like, oh, you know, they're looking at, you know, I'm going to get whatever sacked or I'm going to get, you know, some kind of disciplinary if I don't do my mystery shopping right. So it's about being very transparent with your employees, bring them on board, bring them, you know, show them the questionnaire, really kind of show them the value that they're going to get out of that mystery shopping program.
That's really interesting. You mentioned that there is also certification, that we need to be professional and we need to listen to these people. However, we should not only listen, but we should also read because you wrote a book about this topic, The Secret Diary of a Mystery Shopper, True Customer Service Stories Through the Eyes of a Secret Shopper, The Good, the Bad, and the Exceptional. And to the audience, please quickly go to Amazon or your preferred bookstore and buy one of these books because there are a lot of great insights. Thank you very much, Claire, for your time. We are not finished, but I still have 3 questions for you in the extra time, but I think it was time to share your book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was a little something. Again, during the pandemic, I'd had this idea of this mystery shopping and the Secret Diary of a Mystery Shopper book for a very long time. And when I mentioned it to my client, they're like, yeah, we could do that. You know, you can't talk about, see, there won't be any names or anything. It's just the stories and the learnings from it. And so when the pandemic arrived and I had the clients, I thought, what, you know, I can do that now. So that was my little pandemic book.
That's a great idea, again, how to invest time and drive the energy for the right purpose, because at the end, the book is there as a lot of good reviews also on Amazon. I checked that now. And therefore, to the audience, please buy this book and have a look at it. But now, in the extra time of this small game, fast forward in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast, what we are discussing about.
So I think as a whole of human being, we need to be more. And, you know, the pandemic, again, made us think a lot about our people and how do we look after people and how do we care. And I think bring more care into what we do and how do we care for each other, and how our different communities collaborate together to raise, whether it's great customer experience, whether it's caring for each other. So we have, again, I live on an island. So, you know, how as an island, we can work, collaborate together as a community, we can raise, you know, our care within, so we can have a thriving economy. So the one to one becomes one to 100, become one to thousands, and we can really kind of bring more happiness in our. Am I being very idealistic now? But for me, you know, if you feel good in yourself, if you're happy, if you feel fulfilled, you know, you're going to give so much to back to everybody around you. And if we can have, you know, communities of people which are a lot happier and a lot more positive, we would live so much happier lives.
I fully agree. I think that will be extremely difficult with my last question about the golden nugget, because now this was already a golden nugget. But before we go to that question, what's the best way to contact you?
So I'm everywhere, Craig. You know that. I'm everywhere. Just Google me. But LinkedIn is, I'm spending a lot of time on LinkedIn. Yes, I have some videos on YouTube as well. I've started a TikTok channel. So I gave myself a little challenge last year. I was turning 50. And so I did 50 days to my 50th birthday, 50 seconds of Energizer tips. So if you want some Energizer tips, go on my TikTok channel or the YouTube channel has got them as well. And then, you know, you can watch this little video, which are quite fun. So yeah, I'm quite a lot on social media. So, you know, I'm very happy to do that. And then obviously my website as well, you can find loads of information more on the keynote side of it as well. So whether it's a keynote for mystery shopping, you know, and I have some really good videos, actually. You know, I put a wig on and I put a jacket on and I really turn into a mystery shopper on stage, which, you know, does surprise a lot of people. But yeah, there's a lot of content around. So thanks very much for sharing that.
Thank you. I will do that. And to the audience, you will find all the information in the show notes. And now we're coming to the last question. Claire's golden nugget, something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
Yeah, so I think it's about that inner energy and, you know, really kind of looking after yourself and you know, because that inner energy will bring everything around you, you know, that. So, you know, look at tools and tips on how you can feel better in yourself so then you can share a lot more around you with people around you. Because, you know, if you don't, you know, no one else will. So look after yourself first. Put the mask on your face first before you look after anybody else.
Claire, the only thing that I can say is thank you very much for your time and for this outstanding discussion.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Sure. And you are invited for the next time. Please let me know when. Claire, please stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. If you have any feedback, please let us know. Contact Claire, contact me, and don't forget to have a look at Claire's book, The Secret Diary of a Mystery Shopper. You can find it everywhere and let us know what you think about this book. Thank you very much and bye-bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth, subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.